Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. I hope that everyone is doing well. Shout out to my people up in the LaGrange Troup County area. We thank you guys for listening to us, too, on a weekly basis every Sunday. You guys are tuning in to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and the numbers are reflecting. So we are so thankful and so honored that you are joining us every Sunday. But most importantly, we are appreciative of your feedback, of the quality of programming that we do provide every Sunday. And, you know, as we've said from the very beginning, and one thing we want to be absolutely clear about, we're not trying to compete with nobody. There's no competition. You're just having a good conversation with a good country boy on a good Sunday. That's all that's going on with Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. And I tell you, today is Easter. Happy Easter, everybody. And to my young folks out there listening with your parents or your grandparents, I hope you had an opportunity to go out there and find you a few eggs and color some and have a good time in the spirit of Easter. And we're going to discuss Easter a little bit today. But before I move into our guests, I just want to remind everyone, we are still in a very critical period of COVID-19. We see cases are beginning to rise again all over the country, and we want to be particularly careful with that. As I announced last week, the governor has opened it up so that anybody over 16 can go get the vaccination. And we are blessed to have a mass vaccination site right here in Columbus, Georgia at the Civic Center. But it's not just for people in Columbus, Georgia. If you live in Chattahoochee County, if you live in Marion County, Talbot County, Taylor County, Macon County, Schley County, Harris County, Troup County, Meriwether County, you can come over and get this vaccination. This is your mass vaccination site. We want everyone to get it. They have the Pfizer vaccination over there, and the staff over there, they're absolutely amazing. A guy by the name of Jason, he's in command over there of the GEMA operation. Jason is just phenomenal, very extremely professional. They have a great group of folks over there, and they are serving us well, and I'm just so thankful that they are here. But we can help combat this virus by doing our part to make sure that we are fighting it with all the tools that we have available. Vaccination is one. Wearing your mask is another good tool. Avoiding large crowds is another great tool. And washing your hands and sanitizing as much as possible are certainly great tools as well. If you know you're not feeling well, please don't go around a lot of people. But at the same time, don't panic. If you guys haven't noticed, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen the true color of my car in a long time because of all that pollen that's out there. So we are in pollen allergy season. If you see somebody sneezing at the Publix or at the Piggly Wiggly, don't look at them sideways. It might just be allergies, okay? So let's be aware of that and let's keep that in mind. This past week, our General Assembly in Atlanta, they reached sine die, which is basically the day that the General Assembly closes out. And so all the bills that are going to be in effect for the future have passed both chambers and are waiting the signature of the governor, those that have not already been signed. And if you are not aware, there are certainly some controversial bills that were passed this year that we will be discussing on this show. But I'm going to tell you now, I'm not going to put too much effort in whining about what has happened. My effort will go into getting people out to vote, because no matter how much they restrict you, one thing they cannot do is take it away. And as long as you still have it, you need to use it, and we need to make a way so that we can use it. We need to set the foundation so that we can use it. We need to prepare people and go ahead and start the messaging now that we got to vote in this upcoming election. So we'll be talking about that very soon as well on some future shows, because I do want you to be informed. But I want to go ahead and jump into my conversation for today. I am honored to have with me three great people that are walking in the path of God, sharing his message every day. And I thought on this Easter Sunday, it would only be appropriate that I was joined by three pastors to talk with me about things, you know, things Easter and things Christ and things faith and things church outreach and things of that nature. So we're going to see where the conversation goes. But I have with me Pastor Daquan Tucker from Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Right, Daquan?
Yes, sir.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Pastor Tucker. And I also have with me Pastor Vinton Copeland, very good friend of mine. Vinton is not a stranger to this show. And he's certainly not a stranger to me. He's a very good friend, and I appreciate all that he does. And Pastor Copeland is the leader of Power Missionary Baptist Church over in Talbot County. All my Talbot County people, I know they're going crazy right now, Pastor Copeland. How you doing, Pastor Copeland?
I am well. I'm honored to be on with you tonight.
That is great. Now, Pastor Copeland, I know you and I are very good friends, but please don't be offended by me saying that the next person I'm about to introduce is one of my absolute favorite people. And I just love her to death, my entire family. We love her to death. So many people in this city, in this region, idolize this lady for her beauty, for her strength, for her intelligence, for her wisdom, for her honesty, and just her outright good heart. And that's none other than Pastor Valerie Thompson from Revelation Missionary Baptist Church. How you doing today, Pastor Thompson?
We are doing good, and thank you so much, Teddy, for having us on your show today.
Yes, ma'am. Well, let's jump right in. Pastor Thompson, I'm going to start with you. It's just a simple question. What does Easter mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And literally been thinking about this for a few weeks now. And it came to me, Teddy, that to me it means, that this may seem strange, but it means it's a message of beauty from ashes. And I say that because when you look at Isaiah 61, what Isaiah does, he assures us that no destructive force, and we know that we're in the midst of a pandemic, in our lives is greater than God's plan to redeem us. So Easter, to me, is the message of the hardest things imaginable yielding life when it seems impossible. And it's the idea that the worst things are never the last things. And that's what it came to me, that God is with us and that the story is not over. I don't care how bad it looks. Even during the time of Jesus, when he walked that road to Calvary, we need to understand that it looked bad, but the story was not over. So that's what it means to me, that there's still hope in the midst of what we are going through. It reminds me that God is still God and God is still with us.
Wow. You know, listening to you say that reminds me of a Facebook post that I made earlier this week. And I basically put up the Bible verse, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in the season, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And to hear you say, you know, don't give up, you know, keep going. That was the inspiration I was certainly trying to deliver there. But you just said it so much better than I could. And I think that that is an excellent message, Pastor Copeland, especially in today's society where we see, you know, religion being attacked on so many different fronts. And, you know, even traditionally, Easter was one of those days where, you know, the church was going to be extra full and people were going to come in their new clothing. And there was a stereotype around it. And, you know, and I always, that usually rubbed me the wrong way. Like, you know, we should be glad they're here. Let's not idolize people because they, you know, show one day is better than no day, in my opinion, Pastor Copeland. So what does Easter mean to you, sir?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm a little upset that you put me behind Pastor Thompson. she has said so much in such a small length of time, but it's an opportunity. I believe this is a prime opportunity for us to be ambassadors for Christ. It's simply a great opportunity for us to not just share the gospel, but to see the gospel played out in so many ways. And so even though we're in the pandemic, what we've learned is that there have been so many pastors and preachers and individuals who finally realized that the church must be bigger than the physical building. Unfortunately, it took this long for people to realize that the effectiveness of the church has never been about the four walls of the church, but rather it's about our witness. And so that is exactly what the resurrection is about, because when Christ came back, he gave them power to be witnesses. That is our goal, and so that's what Resurrection Sunday or Easter means, definitely for me.
Wow. You just said so much, too, and we're definitely going to come back and revisit that outreach piece. But, you know, the perspective of a particular day that we as a people, as those that practice this Christian faith, are forced to look back on the journey of our Savior and what he experienced. And for a lot of people, Pastor Tucker, that's kind of hard to grasp. It's kind of hard for them to truly understand that. And so for a lot of folks, Easter brings on this spiritual and emotional, how can I put this? This spiritual and emotional period of reflection and thanks and understanding and humbleness. And so we are learning that different people, even different pastors, approach Easter differently. What does Easter mean to you?
Yeah, to me, personally, I see it as a personal celebration more than just a, you know, how we use to celebrate for religious purposes. When we just reflect on the fact of why he died and how he died, and, you know, and so many things that we take for granted, so many sins that we've committed that we may not even think about. We reflect sometimes, okay, what if there was no crucifixion? What if there was no resurrection? Mm. Where would we be? And I'm the type of preacher, faithfully, every Sunday I go by the cross, not for any shape, form, or fashion, because I understand why he died. When I look back on things that I've done, or anybody else has done, that he's kept covered when it should have been uncovered. That's a reason to rejoice. I see it also as a time of reflection, not just one day, although it is a good thing that we celebrate it once a year, but there's something that's every day.
Mm. Right.
Every day we should, for the remission of our sins, that's the reason why he shed his blood for us. There's nobody that can say in modern times that they would die for us. You know, they say, I'll die for you, I'll ride for that. But would you suffer on a cross for 3 hours?
Wow.
Would you die for people that you know that don't like you?
Ooh. Wait a minute, Pastor Tucker. You just lit up the radio lines, did my friend. Would you die for somebody who you know you don't like? Some of us won't even pray for people that we know don't like us. I mean, you know, we are in a... Pastor Tucker, I'm gonna put you on the spot for a second. How old are you, sir?
I'm 19.
He's 19, y'all. And I knew it, but I wanted you to hear this out there in radio land. That brother that you just heard speaking is 19. And Pastor Val, you can relate to this. When I hear that our younger generation is lost, there are no leaders, there's no one to pass the torch to, there's no one to replace us, so we have to hold on to stuff forever. I refuse to believe that, because people like a Pastor Tucker or a Pastor Chester or a Pastor Copeland, you know, we have young folks out there that are plugged in. Let me get back on my radio program, because that's a different show right there by itself. But you know, Pastor Copeland, you and Pastor Val both spoke of COVID-19. And I want to talk about that a little bit, because even myself, I went through a period of family tragedy with COVID-19 that lasted about 3.5 months long, with several family members back to back to back to back. You know, I have said to some of my friends that COVID-19 has tested our faith in a way that nothing has done in a long time, that didn't just impact a certain segment of people, but impacted in the entire country, the entire world. Heaven was flooded with prayers from folks that normally didn't pray, leaning on God, leaning on the word. Pastor Copeland, in your opinion, what did COVID-19 do to faith? How did it impact faith?
Well, it definitely
kind of expose the dramatic effect of how some people operated in their faith. I think it exposed a lot on the areas in which we need to work on. And so I think it really exposed us to the fact that we're really going to have to be real, and there are some things that we just cannot play with or believe that it's not important or it's irrelevant. And so when it comes to faith, especially during COVID-19, it really has just laid us bare, where we really had to rely on the word that we say, that we preach, and the word that we believe in. And so as bad as it is, the dynamics around what this pandemic has caused, there are some things in which I believe the church should not return back to. And I think it should not return back to. So that's kind of what I've seen.
You know, Pastor Thompson, you were one of the first your church was one of the first churches that I noticed. I don't think anybody was officially keeping track, but what I noticed that started outside service, and you guys would shut down Mr. Allen Street over there that's named after him. You would shut that down. You know the street I'm trying. Lord have mercy. I'm having a brain freeze.
R.C. Allen.
There we go. You would shut it down, and there would be people all up and down the hills listening to the message. And if you saw that, my wife and I were on our anniversary trip a couple weeks ago, and we were leaving Sea Island, and we just made a drive through St. Simon Island just to take in some sights before we hit the road to come back to normality. And it was on a Sunday, and we saw this small Baptist church. We passed it on St. Simon Island, and they were out there up under the big old trees with all the moss hanging down, and they had on their white, and that lady preacher was up there, and I could tell she was going in. But when I saw that, and when I saw what happened here, it reminded me of tradition, of how we would often gather outside and under sheds and have picnics, and you would embrace the word of God while also engaging in recreational activities, whether it was eating, whether it was, you know, tossing some horseshoes or whatever it was, the things that we did outside. But that was the community aspect of faith and of worshiping. Did you feel a little of that when you started your outside ministries due to COVID-19? Did you enjoy that? Did it give you a different energy when you started those services?
It reminded me, Teddy, like you said, of what we used to do long time ago. Because if you look at the history of most churches, they talked about gathering up under the arbor tree, the oak tree, and they had church. But even if you go back in the Bible, if you notice Jesus' journey, not too often was Jesus in a building when he preached, when he ministered. He was on the outside, and I think what happened was is that we had gotten so content, we had gotten so satisfied with being inside that we forgot about when he commissioned us. He said, "Go ye into all the world." We understand he's talked about in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but he did not tell us where to assemble. So when we began to have outside church, it was almost like a breath of fresh air. And you were talking about that faith. I began to, because we were at the beginning of COVID, I began to preach faith messages. As a matter of fact, preaching now faith, not yesterday's faith because yesterday is gone, not tomorrow's faith because tomorrow has been secured, but now faith, what God is able to do for us right now in a time of uncertainty, in a time of difficulty. I can go back to what I said. God is still with us, and the story isn't over. So you know, it just, even though we were in our cars, even though we knew what was going on, it was just the fellowship. It was the coming together. It was our neighbors sitting out on the porch, neighbors that had not come in the building, but neighbors that were sit on their porches way up on Steam Mill Road, and they will say, we heard the message. And that's what it's about. It's about transformation. It's about change, transforming lives. It's about people getting that message, and everybody's not going to come inside the church. And I'm here to say, and somebody can say I'm wrong, when the time comes, I don't think a lot of us are going back in. Literally, to me, it's been good out. People are still being saved.
Yes, Lord.
People are still being transformed. People are still being delivered. People are still being healed. People are still being set free, and we have been out of the building for over a year.
My God.
Okay, don't get me started.
No, you about to get me started, because when you say the folks hurt you on Steam Mill Road, all I could see was Danny Glover sitting on that porch in the color purple and Sugar Avery singing God trying to tell you something. And the message was radiating over those trees. And everybody was drawn to the word. I mean, whoa, Lord have mercy. You know, and Pastor Tuck, I think I heard a message there. I think I heard that at any moment, God will hit the reset button. You just got to be ready. I think that'll preach right now, Pastor Tucker. But, you know, but Pastor Val had a very good point. And Pastor Tucker, what I want to ask you about at this point is, it seems to me, and I'm not a pastor, but that's why I have the experts. I have you three on the line with me. But it seems to me that COVID also forced us to deviate from what had become, now don't let this mess you up here now, the new tradition of church, the new tradition, you know, and it caused us to begin to again focus on what can we do outside of our walls. As a 19-year-old pastor, you hear people say all the time that and the accusation is made, the allegation is made that the younger generation is losing faith, that the younger generation is participating in, you know, religious practices lesser than the generations before them, that we're seeing a constant decline. Can you address religion and people within your age group, and can you articulate some of their challenges so that maybe some of our seniors that are listening, some of our seasoned people that are listening, can get a message from you to reach the younger generation? Because I believe in cross-generational communication. There's no generation that knows it all. You know, and even at the tender age of 19, you have experienced things in your life that someone way older than you have not experienced, because the times were different, because things change all the time. Talk to us on behalf of that age group.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because as a young pastor, pastoring a 157-year-old church that before the pandemic was a very traditional church. And because of tradition, it caused the young people to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the older people, no offense to them, who some, I would say, they get that mindset, this is what we've always done, so we're going to stick with it because it works for us. But what some fail to realize, okay, it works for grandmother, but can it work for the grandchild?
Mm.
Because some of the things that helped my grandmother's faith, it won't help mine. Things are constantly changing. So when young people don't go through anything, well, you have to understand, it's a different time. We have more racial violence than we did before. You know, as a young black man, you know, sometimes I'm afraid to even travel or go outside of my house before having the threat of being shot dead by a police officer. It caused Mount Calvary, as a church, to go from a very traditional church to a more open, modern 21st century church. It challenged us to go out into the community more than what we thought we were. You know, it calls us to grow better, and it challenged our faith in a way to where, one thing I can say, Pastor Thompson said sometimes that we have so many options to where we forget about God. And the pandemic caused us to run out of options, and so where we were at the point now where we didn't have a choice but to return back to Him. And a lot of these unbiblical traditions that we've held so dear, we realized they were ruining the church. Not all of them, but their some were so unbiblical and some undoctrined to where it was ruining our churches and it's causing our generation to flee. Every young man that comes to the church doesn't want to be a deacon. Every young man that comes to the church doesn't want to sing in choir or doesn't want to be a mother. We cannot automatically put people in categories. It just as scripture tells us, hey, it's many members in one body, but we all have different functions. And we cannot give somebody a gift that was not given by God.
Wow.
And we'll bring young people in and say, okay, I'm going to train you to be a drummer. What if God did not call that person to be a drummer? Okay, well, I'm going to have you do this and do that. We have to stop, and we had to stop categorizing people. And the biggest thing with our churches now, we were always so focused on what we had on, what people are wearing, how people look. Since we've been in this pandemic, I can on one hand how many times I've worn a suit. We've always been stuck on this. Good example, just before we went out of church, Pastor Thompson, that Super Bowl Sunday, my entire team, we decided to wear our favorite team jersey. That Sunday, and I'll say this in public as well as private, careful, I don't bite my tongue about anything. I received phone calls, people blessing me out because we didn't have on black and white suits.
Wow.
You have on your black. I didn't even cover the community. I just put the trays on the table and left alone. You're supposed to cover that community. No, that is nowhere in the Bible. And if it is, and I miss it, if I'm theologically incorrect, you please correct me and you show me where is it in the Bible where I have to wear a black suit and a white shirt. Where do I have to cover up the communion elements? No, we have these brass trays. We pay for them. We're going to show them. We don't have to wear this stuff. This is all tradition that we make biblical. We try to make it biblical. It's not.
Wow.
It's as if here we're idolizing materialistic things.
Wow.
Can I say something?
Yes, ma'am.
Daddy, just, I know we got to get off this call. Can I say one thing? And you probably going to have us back on again. That's where we mistake religion versus relationship with God.
Right.
That's where we mistake. And there is a difference because religion can be having, it's different from having a relationship. Religions are man-made and are based on trying to get God through rules and regulations and good works and man-made stuff. But when we begin to talk about relationships, the plan for man's salvation, and having a personal relationship with Him throughout what is taught in the Bible. And that's exactly what he was saying. We are so stuck on rituals and tradition. We're losing our millennials. We're losing those young people, and half of that stuff that we're doing inside of the church has nothing to do with our relationship with Him. Now I'm getting excited. Right. Okay, go.
Let me just ask this last question, and it's going to be to you, Pastor Thompson, because we do have to wrap things up. It's on the same topic, though, and that's outreach. And, you know, we were blessed here in Columbus, Georgia, to have you as a city councilwoman for a short period while you fill the remainder of the term of another amazing woman, our former mayor pro temp, Evelyn Turner Pugh. What an amazing woman she was in the years of dedication that she gave as service. And those were some big shoes to immediately follow. But I think that, you know, the story has been written, the grade has been given, and the consensus has been drawn that you were an outstanding leader, an outstanding city councilwoman during that period. And you balanced that with your faith and your outreach to the point to where the younger generation even began to flock to you and begin to embrace you. What can you say that you learned during that period that you can share with other religious leaders so that they can too build strong relationships with the younger generation?
Let me say this one thing that, I'm going to be very honest about this, is that you have to have an humble spirit. there are no big I's and little U's when it comes to, especially to outreach, because everybody feels that what they stand in the need of, questions that need to be answered, that one is not any bigger than the other one. So what I always try to do, I try to put myself in the place of those that embraced me or encouraged me, those people that had not had their questions answered. So with an humble spirit, and sometimes it became, I have to be honest, very overwhelming. But I made sure that I never went to bed at night while I sat on that council without addressing every question, every phone call that I had gotten. I didn't care how long I had to stay up, because these were my constituents. They were dependent on me, whether it was for 2 months or for 2 years. And I understood that when people need help, they don't care what it is or how it is. They want to make sure that they are being heard. And a lot of that came also with my faith in God, with my relationship with Him, and having an humble spirit and understanding that, and I'm going to keep saying this, that God was with me, and no one story, the story is never, ever over.
Wow.
It's not over.
Wow. This has been an amazing show, you guys. I'm definitely going to have you three back together. I'm going to break some kind of rules we have here, and I got to have you three back together again. I want to thank you so much. I'm Pastor Daquan Tucker from Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, Pastor Vinton Copeland from Powell Missionary Baptist Church, and Pastor Valerie Thompson from Revelation Missionary Baptist Church. Thank you guys so much for joining me on this Easter Sunday, and y'all take care, okay?
You too. Thank you.
Wow, what a hot Sunday, Easter Sunday conversation. I tell you, I really appreciate that conversation, the honesty from those three. All of them are amazing. But again, I just have to give a special shout out to my past, my friend, someone I look up to, someone whose shoulder I've cried on, Pastor Valerie Thompson, for always keeping it straight. And I hope that you will one day join us again in leadership. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Thank you so much for listening.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.